Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our reading for this morning is a familiar reading, kind of a fun reading in some ways, but in a strange kind of way. Jesus is there and he's continuing to do his work of healing and of casting out demons. And while he's there, it says in our story, the Pharisees came and they warned him that Herod was looking to kill him. Now, it's sort of strange to hear the Pharisees mentioned in a more positive way. So often we think of the Pharisees as being enemies of Jesus, and here they are helping him. Well, the Pharisees were a lay movement of people who were concerned about purity and the following of the law, and they tended to keep themselves separate. But here in this text, they come and they warn Jesus. Well, about what? Why? Why is Herod after Jesus? Well, in the paragraph preceding our reading for today, Jesus mentions a locked door. And in the story that Jesus tells, Jesus says that the people come to the door and they rap on the door and they want to come in. And the master says to them, "I do not know you. Go away." And again, they come to the door and they knock on the door. "Let us in, let us in." And they begin to recount all of the wonderful things that they have done. "This is why we should be allowed in." And the master says, "I do not know where you come from. Go away, all you evildoers. Go away." Well, imagine if you were the person in charge and you heard this upstart rabbi come and tell that story, and you got to thinking to yourself, "I wonder if he's talking about us, about me." You can imagine they wouldn't be very happy to have Jesus around. Because Jesus has come in and begun to tell them, you know, here is what God is about these days, and here's what God is calling me to do. And he's not following the rules. And those in charge are getting very nervous. You all have never experienced that, have you? As people in your work or especially in the church, have you ever had some well-meaning person come up and sort of tell you, "Well, you know, you might want to consider doing it like this"? Do you ever sort of get that uneasy feeling that they're really telling you, "You have really messed this up"? And no matter how gentle, and that never happens in the church, does it? You know, last week, somebody very rightly pointed out that our normal way of reading the gospel, for those of you who are new today, we're normally orientated with everything facing that way. The altar is not quite up against the wall, and the choir is over there. So our habit is always that the gospel reader comes out into the center about here and faces this direction and reads the gospel. Well, it didn't occur to us that we should change that. And so we would come out and we would read the gospel without realizing you all were behind us. So somebody last week very gently said, "Pastor, maybe you could have them turn the other way. I was doing it wrong." Well, you know how uncomfortable that makes some of us, even no matter how confident and well-trained we are, we can feel sort of put out by that. And I think that's part of what's going on. So Herod wants to get rid of Jesus, and the Pharisees come and they warn Jesus. Herod is coming to kill you. He feels threatened. Jesus responds in a remarkable fashion. He looks up and he says, "You tell that old fox." one of my Bible studies went through all the lists of things we could use instead of old fox, of which only a third of them were actually usable on a Sunday morning. Put in your own description. Herod, you old fox, tell that old fox that I am here healing and casting out demons. I am here today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will be finished. It's the closest in some ways that Jesus comes to going, Herod, I have my work to do. Work that he knows. You remember, this is Luke. Jesus is making this journey toward Jerusalem, toward his death. And in spite of that journey, in spite of what will come ahead, Jesus says, tell that old fox, I have my work to do. Well, what does that mean for all of us who are left? We call ourselves the body of Christ. It seems to me then our response might be informed by what Jesus says. Today and tomorrow, I have my work to do, and on the third day, until my work is done, I will continue to do my work. Well, for the past 2 years, I've spent a phenomenal amount of time trying to understand what's happening in the wider church and within congregations. The world is changing. And so I read all of these books about what people think is happening in the church. Things are changing significantly. But when I read, I feel a little like Herod must have felt that morning. Because every time I read about how the church is declining and the church is becoming less relevant and how we don't seem to be as engaged in ministry and mission and that we don't understand the language or the trajectory of the modern world, so many of the books keep pointing back to kind of one problem. Leadership. A lack of leadership in the church. And who do they point to for being the lousy leaders of the church? 50-year-old male pastors. The whole thing is my fault. Our lack of flexibility and vision, our unwillingness to make people unhappy. And it pervades throughout all of our leadership within the congregations and within the national church as well. Because yes, we do have more women in leadership now, but they're mostly in their 50s and they act just like the 50-year-old men. We've infected them. And of course, that's a simplistic view. It's more than that. But here we are, the body of Christ, and we've been called to do our work today and tomorrow and again on the third day, even in the face of all adversity. But we keep clinging to the hope that if we just do a little more of what we've already done, somehow it will be accounted to us as righteousness. I'll use an example of our own leadership from just this last week in the council meeting. As you know, we've been trying to cover the Horman courtyard for a long time. And God bless them, I have to use you, Jim. Jim has worked his little okole off, he's done all kinds of things, and we got to the point where we were waiting for an engineering report. And here we have been waiting and waiting, and Jim's gotten really, really busy. And so at the council meeting, we sat around scratching our heads, and we said, we should do something about this. And I said, because I'm a 50-year-old male, I said, well, we should appoint a different committee, right? I mean, isn't that what Lutherans do? If you have any problem to solve, you appoint a committee. So we racked our brains and we thought, well, we had Jim Nierman and he's got really busy, so what we're going to do is get another Jim. We're going to appoint Jim Sullivan. And so we've muddled along for a little while. And then out of nowhere, it was so funny to have Mike Formby, who's the president of our congregation, say, well, couldn't we just decide? There was dead silence in the room. Couldn't we just decide what we're going to do as a council and just do it? It hadn't occurred to us. Of course we could do that. Our tendency, it seems, is to get lost in the machinations of doing our work to the point that we forget that we have this work to do that begins today. We're not so bad at today. I mean, today, congregation, our congregation, every third Friday of the month, we feed 400 people lunch at IHS. It's a today thing. Every last Saturday of the month, we go out to Waianae and we help together in partnership with other congregations feed 150 families who are homeless on the Waianae coast. Every month on the first Sunday of the month, we bring colorful bags, which you will receive today after worship, filled with food to support Angel Network, who are feeding something like 4,000 people a month out in Ainahaina. We worship and we do Bible study and we provide help for wounded warriors. We provide housing for women in crisis down here at Fernhurst. We've got the today down. But what about tomorrow? Have we begun to look about what God might be calling us to tomorrow? Often when I walk into the boardroom and I look at our historical photographs and there's a picture there of the Sunday school, I think from 1954, there's like 150 Sunday school students. Do you think in 1954 they were looking forward to 2013? And thinking to themselves, oh, there's going to be 40 kids in Sunday school. Do you think they were looking at it? Do you think they could have imagined that there would be two ELCA congregations on this island who have no Sunday school at all? What will tomorrow look like? We are the body of Christ who are called to heal and cast out demons and to do ministry today and tomorrow and on the third day until it is finished. Well, I have to be honest with you. If you wait for the 50-year-old men and the 50-year-old women in white robes to figure it out for you, you will be sadly, sadly disappointed. We're doing the best that we can, but we feel, like many of you, overwhelmed. Sometimes we're paralyzed by fear to do anything at all. Honestly, there are nights that I wake up in the middle of the night and I think to myself, why are you doing this? Surely there's a good shoe salesman job somewhere for you. In the same way that some of you probably wake up in the morning and say, why do I keep trying to hammer away at being a Christian and live out my faith in the world? Why can't I just ignore this irrelevant and old and sort of broken faith? It's because there is today and tomorrow and the third day. You are being called. I am being called, and we are being called together with all of the Church of God to be the body of Christ, casting out the demons of this world, of poverty, of hatred, of bigotry, intolerance, and irrelevance. We are the ones who are being called as the body of Christ to heal today and tomorrow and on the third day, to bring food to the poor, comfort to those who are troubled and grieving, and frankly, to raise our children in a place that knows love. Where else can they come and be loved? Today, tomorrow, and on the third day, we are being called to do our ministry in Christ, in this place. I don't know what the future will bring, but I do believe the promise to Abraham that God will be with us and number us as the stars, that God will not abandon us in our journey to Jerusalem. And I believe that God continues to tell us, tell that old fox of doubt and apathy and lack of money and lack of courage and lack of excitement, tell that old fox that we will be here today and tomorrow and on the third day until it is finished. Amen.